It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here he is, the constant friend of the Sports Hub Golf Club, Steve Connolly from Callaway, joining us for the first time here in 2018. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Hardy. How are you? Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, yeah, as always, there's stuff to talk about with you and with Callaway, because you guys, you can't leave well enough alone. And things were going pretty good for Callaway. Things were going great for you guys, but now you just got to go and I change it up again.
Yeah, we had a pretty good 2017. You know, certainly being, you know, the number one driver, fairway-wood, hybrid, iron, putter in golf in 2017 is pretty good. You know, fastest growing golf ball, number two wedge. So yeah, we were really excited. We had a great year last year, but hey, it's the R&D guys never stop. And as they always say, I wish we had another month or two before we could launch this. So there, we have a lot of great new stuff for 2018.
Well, I saw some of the new stuff at the Golf Expo, so I have an idea of what's coming in. Anybody who watches golf or reads any golf magazines have seen what's going on with Rogue. So my first question is, I have an Epic driver in the bag, and I love it. Yeah. And I think it was the first one to incorporate this jailbreak technology. The Epic was like setting records for sales and like taking over guys' bags on tour and everything else. What's wrong with the Epic?
There is nothing wrong with the Epic. It was a, okay. It's a great driver. Good. And it was, you know, I think I said to you last year, you know, once every 10 years, there's that, you know, game-changing technology when it comes to drivers. And really, this jailbreak is that. And that's what we saw with the Epic, where people get on TrackMan, they got on the launch monitors and saw this dramatic jump in ball speed and distance.
And let's talk about the jailbreak, because we talk about it as though I know what the hell you're talking about. I have an idea, but can you explain it?
Absolutely. So really, you know, what it is there's two titanium bars that are running vertically in the club head. And the idea behind it is we're making it as vertically, the club as vertically stiff as possible. So at impact, when you have a violent impact like that, especially with a driver, fairway wood, hybrids, is the crown and the sole of the golf club are trying to separate. So there's a movement away from each other between the crown and the sole. What the jailbreak does is it really locks them in, so it doesn't allow that crown and sole to try to separate that movement. So all of the energy, instead of dispersing vertically top to bottom, instead all that energy has to go to the face, and that's where we're seeing these huge jumps in ball speed.
Okay, and that's the problem. If the sole and the top of the club try and separate, the energy goes elsewhere. Instead, it's being contained in the face, and that way it's transferred to the golf ball.
Correct.
Okay, I almost get it. Very good. So you had that, though, in the Epic driver.
We did.
So what's going on with the Rogue?
So what we've done is we've actually, on the driver side, we've tweaked it, where it's actually a little different shape. So it's more, instead of the titanium rods that are creating the jailbreak technology, instead of them being straight, they're more like an hourglass shape. We found that actually makes the club even more vertically stiff than in the Epic.
Oh.
So which is transferring more of that energy to the face. And I remember talking to our R&D guy who's in charge of woods, and I was talking about Epic last year, and I said, boy, you know, what a breakthrough this is. And he said, I wish we'd had another couple of months, because R&D guys never want to launch a product. They just want to keep making it better and better.
Right.
So this is where they would have gone, you know, if we'd had a little more time. So it's a significant jump in technology, even over the original jailbreak technology in Epic.
Well, I feel this is kind of like, you know, the XR, which a few years ago was a great club for you guys. You came out with the XR 16 the next year, and people with the XR were completely happy. People with the XR 16 were just a little happier. I feel like it's going to be that way now. It's like, okay, this is a big jump now up to the Epic and the jailbreak technology. Everyone who's got that is going to be real happy. And the people who got the Rogue are going to be just that much happier because, like you said, it's just a little more distance. What about the forgiveness?
I would say that's probably the biggest change. It's definitely a little more ball speed than Epic, but the forgiveness is off the charts. So the MOI of Rogue versus Epic is a huge jump. In fact, you know, last year, you know, we have obviously the Sub-Zero version of the Rogue, just like we did with the Epic, which is a much lower spinning driver. And there really isn't a forgiving low spin driver in the marketplace. If you look at the entire golf industry now with the Rogue Sub-Zero, is actually, we've created it where the Sub-Zero version with the really low spin is actually a higher MOI, so meaning more forgiving, than the standard Epic was last year. So, and that tells you, and when you look at the standard Epic Standard Rogue compared to the Epic this year, it is another jump in forgiveness. So all those shots that you hit towards the toe and the heel, or not just MOI on the toe and the heel, but also high and low on the face, it's a huge difference in terms of forgiveness.
And MOI, once again, stands for?
Moment of inertia. So it's really talking about how straight the ball is going to come off the club face.
All right. So you've got that really dialed in now with the Rogue driver. Does it translate to the other clubs? Do you have the same technology in the fairway woods and in the hybrids?
And that's really the big change we have this year with the Rogue line is last year the jailbreak technology was only in the drivers. This year we have incorporated into the fairways and hybrids. So, you know, what we're doing is, you know, we've been the number one fairway wood and number one hybrid for, you know, a number of years, 5 years in a row. And that's because of the face cup technology that you and I have talked about over the years, where making that club face is as hot as possible when it comes to fairway woods, hybrids, and irons. We're now taking that face cup technology and combining it with jailbreak in the fairway wood and hybrid. So you're seeing ball speeds, really the jump in ball speed, say in a fairway wood, is similar to the jump we saw last year going to jailbreak in a driver compared to what people are playing today.
All right, Steve Connolly here from Callaway. Irons-wise, are you guys doing something different this year also?
We do have a Rogue line of irons as well, and it is once again another step in, I think, technology in terms of both ball speed and feel and sound, where in the past, you know, we've been the number one iron for the last 39 months in a row based on Golf Data Tech. That's really because we've used the face cup technology in irons where we're creating ball speeds that no one else can. The one thing when it comes to that really hot face, hot thin face, if you're looking for ball speed in iron, it tends to be a little loud. So you get that little louder sound. You don't get what people would traditionally feel like is a muscle back or, you know, small forged iron sound, where that really traditional shot that we all thought of, we've all heard 20 years, you know, ago.
Sure.
And so what we've done now is in the new Rogue irons, we have urethane microspheres embedded in the iron head. What that does is it absorbs all that sound and vibration. But unlike if you want to put foam or you want to put a giant piece of thick urethane in there, you can do that and make it sound a lot better, but you're also minimizing the rebound effect of the face by doing this with these tiny microspheres. So really, if you could picture almost, you know, thousands of these tiny little plastic balls, they move with the face. So the face can actually get that same rebound effect as it does today with any really hot faced iron, but gives you the sound and feel of a forge club.
You're talking about that, like the nice click.
Correct.
You get off of a well-struck, pure iron shot with
Correct.
A high-quality iron. So you're going to get a player's iron sound off of a normal, average player type of club.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, we've actually even added, so we have the pro version of the Rogue, the standard version of the Rogue, and then we've actually created a new one this year, which I think is going to become a new category. If I had to guess, I bet you when you look at the Golf Digest hot list next year, they'll have a new category that'll be the premium super distance iron, which is the Rogue X. So these are stronger lofted irons, slightly longer, but really designed for that player that's looking to get back distance. And, you know, we're not apologizing for it. You know, over the years, there's been a lot of manufacturers that have, you know,
tweaking the lofts on their irons. It's
correct.
Like, I'm hitting my pitching wedge 140 yards. It's like, yeah, because it's 2 degrees less loft or 4 degrees less loft than the irons you had 5 years ago.
Correct. So this Rogue X iron is the longest iron you could hit. But, like, once again, we're not hiding the fact that it's a stronger lofted, but the way it's designed, we've really lowered the center of gravity so that you're going to create the exact same launch as you would with a traditional 8-iron in this Rogue X iron. In fact, Ollie Snyderjans, one of our staffers on the PGA Tour, was at one of our teaching events, I would say a month and a half ago when I was in Florida. He hit it. He carried it about 265 with a 7-iron. So if you're interested in trying to chase that, feel free. But the comment that I really took from that was he said, it's in the exact same window as my 7-iron.
Oh my
so
God.
It's launching exactly the same as you would want. But for that player that used to hit a 9-iron in their par 3 on number 4 and now they hit 7-iron, they can now hit 8 or 9-iron again.
That's beautiful.
And get that same launch.
That's beautiful. Now, do the polyurethane spheres, do they fall off? Can they be replaced? Do you have to, like, they come in like a shaker can, you can put them back on?
No,
the
we've done it. We do a lot of testing. I think we do, you know, we spend significantly more than any other manufacturer when it comes to R&D. So we do a lot of testing before it comes out. So I think,
you know,
I think we're safe. If, you know, 15 years from now, you want to ask me about the urethane microsphere, maybe we'll have an issue, but I'm not worried about it here in the next 10 years.
Can you see them on the club face, or are they embedded
underneath? No, they are deep inside the club. The club head, so you won't see him, Hardy.
Well, I have to trust that they're there.
They're there. I promise you they're there. At least I was told they were there.
Take your word for it. All right, so we got the Rogue Driver. We got the fairway metals, the hybrids, the irons. We got to talk about the golf ball. I'm seeing the Callaway golf ball more and more on tour. I'm seeing it more and more on golf courses. You know, it feels like it's now kind of neck and neck with you-know-who.
Well, it's interesting. I just saw the most recent golf data tech for March, and obviously we know around here there hasn't been a lot of golf played in March.
Yeah.
Not a lot of golf balls sold, but, you know, from around the country when it comes to Florida and other places, we now have hit our highest market share ever in golf ball in the month of March.
Wow.
March 2018. And that's really, that comes down to the Chrome Soft. And, you know, this really started 4 years ago when we launched the Super Soft golf ball, which appealed to a lot of golfers that were looking for a distance ball, but also wanted to have that really nice feel around the green. But Chrome Soft really has changed the game when it's come to tour balls. It's a lower compression tour ball, but the way it's designed, this new one is really what's, I think, really helped us jump to that next level where, you know, we have tour players coming to us purely because they want to play our golf ball. Sergio Garcia said that the main reason he came to Callaway this year was because he was sick of watching other players that he used to hit it past him because of Chrome Soft.
No kidding.
But, you know, technology-wise, the new Chrome Soft in 2018, it has a new technology called graphene, which is... Actually, there's a material, this material called graphene. It actually won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 2010. It's extremely lightweight and extremely strong, and we're using it in the outer core. So we have a dual soft, fast core. What you really want to do for a golf ball, if you're looking for the ultimate in playability, you want to make the inner core as big as possible. But you need an outer core to really give it that control for a tour-level golf ball. And the graphene allows us to make that outer core much thinner. If you take graphene, I'll give you a question. If you took graphene and covered a football field in it with this material, how much do you think it would weigh?
At what thickness?
I would say
just
an
a
inch
layer
worth of thick. Yeah,
just
layer. An inch out. Worth, an inch
I
across.
Don't know. 150 pounds.
It weighs half of a quarter.
Half of a 25-cent piece?
Yes. So is an unbelievable.
And it makes a difference in the golf ball?
What it allows us to do is make that outer core so much thinner that we can make the inner core bigger. And what that does with a four-piece urethane tour golf ball is we can make the spin separation dramatic. So for you, when you're hitting that tee shot, you want as low a spin as possible, but you want the ultimate spin when you're hitting that flop shot or bunker shot. And between the Chrome Soft and the Chrome Soft X, it allows us to make that spin separation so dramatic because no one else in the golf industry can use this technology.
Oh, I tell you, the mad scientists of Callaway, coming up with the jailbreak stuff, which is, like you said, it's the first real breakthrough. I think that you can call like a breakthrough in club design that we've seen in a while. So I'm glad you didn't abandon it. I'm glad you've tweaked it for the Rogue line, and now it's available in more of the clubs. So it's all good news, Steve.
No, it's great. And like I said, we're really excited. You know, and I think the cool thing is, you know, we've really, especially for everyone here in Boston, we've really invested in the Chicopee Golf Plant where, you know, all of our tour balls are made. And we are the only golf manufacturer in the world that makes every single tour ball in the United States. And for us, it's not only in the United States, but it's in the state of Massachusetts out in Chicopee, Mass. We've invested another $25 million in that facility. So we're really excited about, you know, supporting, you know, the local economy in Massachusetts.
Yeah, you can pick up golf balls and feel like you're at a farmer's market, buying locally.
Correct.
Awesome. Awesome. Steve Connolly, always good to see you, buddy. Thanks for sharing with us all the new stuff. And something tells me we'll be seeing you and talking to you again before too long, because you guys, like I said, you can't leave well enough alone. So we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Hardy.
It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here we are once again on the Sports Hub Golf Club with somebody who's going to try and get us better at this game, and from a place that is devoted to getting us better, not only at playing golf, but at practicing golf, Dan Boisvert, who is the Director of Instruction at Core Golf. Dan, get right up next to that microphone. Just make love to that thing, man. Yeah, don't treat it like I treat a 3-foot putt. No,
that's
embrace
right.
It. Yeah, get as close as you want. Dan, how you doing? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us.
For anyone who didn't hear at any time previous to now, us talking about Core Golf here on the Sports Hub Golf Club or on the radio station, Core Golf is a practice facility, for lack of a better word, in Natick, that I truly believe this, and not just blowing smoke, I think it's going to change the way people think about practice. And that's where you are. That's where you are.
Yep.
Every day, right?
Yep.
So it's really an amazing facility. And Dan, as Director of Instruction there, that's got to mean a lot to you in terms of, you know, the overall scope of instruction and what people,
yep,
are trying to do at Core Golf. If you can do it in like 20 words or less, what is Core Golf? When you tell people you work there, how do you describe it?
So we've basically tried to create a facility that will allow you to come and make it difficult for you to not get better by just being there. Just from the quality of the golf balls, the hitting areas, the quality of the greens and the flags that you're hitting at, everything has been really thought out and placed in a way that's, you know, going to help you improve your game.
Somebody just asked me this yesterday. They said, because I was raving about it, about just being on the range for a few minutes the other day, and they said, what kind of balls you got there? I'm like, I don't know. They're golf balls.
But they're Strixons.
Oh, Strixons.
Yep.
Okay, so they are not the rock-hard, low-compression.
No, sir.
No, okay, so real golf balls,
yep,
at Core Golf. And as Director of Instruction there, we're going to talk today and do a little instruction, and I think it has to do with, like, understanding ball flight. Is that what we're,
yep,
going to talk about today?
Yeah, so for us, a lot of it is clarity and simplifying the process of learning. So if you can understand why your ball does something, you know, when you hit a miss, let's say you hit a big hook, if you understand why you hit that hook and what causes that to happen, then sometimes it's a lot easier for you to kind of get to the other side of the spectrum.
And for me, it was quite a leap, and it seems so obvious to a guy like you. But for me, it was a big leap to stop trying to hit a straight ball. You know,
yep,
for me, it was a real revelation when somebody told me, when, so like, where are you aimed? I'm like, down there. Okay, so that's your target, but where are you aimed?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm aimed at my target. No, you can't do that, because hitting a straight shot in golf is next to impossible.
Yep.
And why would you set up and even have that thought in your head to begin with?
So that's something that we deal with quite a bit. You know, most amateur golfers come in and we say, you know, what are you trying to do? Oh, I'm trying to hit a straight shot. Well, there's been like zero PGA Tour players over the last 100 years that just hit a straight shot every single time. Everyone has their pattern. And for us, it's trying to find a swing that is most repeatable for that person and then add functional traits to make that ball flight, you know, work a little better or more in their favor.
Dan Boisvert is the Director of Instruction at Core Golf. It's funny, you know, you talk about PGA Tour players, and with Shot Tracker now, we're able,
yep,
to see where their ball is going. And a lot of times you'll see somebody, like especially on a par three, hit the ball and they'll kind of slam their iron into the ground, and you're watching the Shot Tracker and the ball's going dead straight. And you'd think, what? Why is he upset with that? Because if the ball goes dead straight, almost certainly he didn't hit the shot he wanted to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you have a student there and you start, how does it work during a typical lesson for you, Dan? Does it start off with just watching a few balls and seeing what's going on with somebody, or does somebody show up and say, I've got all this happening and I need help?
A little bit of both. I want to watch someone hit a couple balls, and I'll ask a lot of questions, get a feel for where they're at. You know, when they're hitting it good, what's the ball do? When they're not hitting it good, what's the ball do? And then just trying to find something that they already have awareness around, whether, you know, you grew up playing baseball or football or whatever it is, and trying to give them some type of athletic feel based around something that they already have some feel around.
Okay, well, let's use me as an example, because I was up there hitting a few balls the other day, like meeting with you guys, and you came by the range, which, by the way, does that happen? Like, if you go up there to hit balls at Core, I know there are different ways of doing it. You can be a member there, and you can be part of, like, more formal instruction. But are you guys just kind of, like, walking around sometimes and helping people out with their swings?
I mean, I don't want to see anyone hitting poor shots. So if I have a few minutes and I know I can help someone pretty quick.
Is that why you
stop? No, not because of you hitting poor shots, but we'll always try to do whatever we can to help someone and to have them leaving Core, you know, feeling a little better about their golf game.
All right, well, let's help me understand. We'll use me as an example and understand ball flight a little bit, because when you stopped by the other day, we talked a little bit and you watched a couple of swings, but I think I'm pretty typical of, an amateur golfer in that. Yes, I do have a standard miss, and that would probably be, the hook or the snap hook when it goes really bad. But I'm also capable of, catching one off the toe and sending it right.
Yeah.
So what's the conversation? How do we start to understand this?
Well, what I was seeing with your swing the other day was, the first thing you mentioned to me was you feel like you come up out of your posture, basically. So you were saying you try to feel like you keep your chest down. For what I was seeing was your body wasn't rotating through the ball as much. So your chest starts to pick up and your body tries to start to help the ball in the air, and then you start to flip the face, because you're going to have to close the face. You're not going to want to hit a 60-yard push all day.
Right.
So you start to try to manipulate it too much with your hands, and then you just start losing everything.
So as an instructor, I already have a bit of an understanding as to what I'm doing and what's going wrong.
Yep.
How do you go about the fix? Because obviously I already knew it, and I'm telling myself, stay centered over that ball. Mm-hmm. Keep, your chest, you feel like you're trying to smother it a little bit.
Yep.
But that's not working. So how do you come up with something? And what did you tell me? I know, I remember, but I thought it was a great tip.
So, focusing for you, your low point was consistently a little bit too far behind the ball. So for you, getting you to focus on a spot slightly in front of the ball, giving you a different point to swing at, will be a starting point. Typically when I have someone who they're coming up out of their posture and they're, kind of hitting the halfway point on the ball and hitting some pulls and stuff like that, I'll actually have them put the ball a little more forward in their stance and work on compressing it from that position. Because if you put the ball up in your stance and you pick up, you're going to top it every single time.
It's like the Mo Norman technique. Play that ball forward, and it's like you've got no choice but to get forward
and
stay down.
And that's just to create a feel and to get you into a different position, and then, long-term get that ball, back where it should be.
What about the dreaded slice? I'm sure you have people who come and it's whether fortunately or unfortunately, has never been my consistent miss, because do you like seeing a slice more so than a hook in terms of what I have to fix on a typical player that day?
So a hook is typically a better player's miss.
Thank you. Did you stop the tape right now? Go back, save that for eternity. A hook is typically a better player's miss.
Yeah,
and what is my miss, Dan?
A hook.
Show's over. I don't know how the show's going to get any better today. All right, never mind. All right, so the hook is typically a better player's miss. But what I mean, I'm not a better player, but what does that mean when it comes to fixing it?
Well, a slice it can be caused by a ton of things. But for most people, it's, over time they start to swing with an open club face. So when your club face is open, you start to compensate by pulling the club more left through impact to try to bring it back to your target. And, over time, people band-aid it, and they just start aiming more left, or they start to hood their face, and it just exaggerates everything.
So would you rather see a slice? When it comes to, you've got 5 minutes to do a quick fix on somebody. Would you rather see a slice as opposed to a hook?
It depends on the player. It really depends on the player. But for me, it's really just getting into the ball flight and teaching you, okay, why does your ball start left and curve so hard right? Why that happens, and then figuring out, okay, this is what causes that. What are we going to do to get you to the other side of the spectrum? Because ideally, I want someone who hits a slice to leave hitting a hook.
Okay. If Dan Boisvert, by the way, is director of instruction at Core Golf. That's KOHR Golf in Natick. Do players typically have, like, their ingrained ball flight, their ingrained trajectory? Like, if you start hitting a golf ball at age 10 and you have a tendency to hit, a high fade, is that going to stay with you for the most part for your life?
The tough part about that is, like, those kids, they grow like wildflowers. Like, you could grow 3 inches in a winter, and now your muscles have stretched out, and your swing could literally change 360. So the body controls a lot of that. You know, when you're growing, things start to change. But everyone has a pattern that sticks around for a while.
I found that to be true, too, when you think you're making a major swing change, or people say, like, Dan, look what I did. I'm starting to do this now. I'm so much flatter on my backswing.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it doesn't look all that different, does it?
Feel versus real. it can be pretty mean at times.
But the differences can be quite astounding.
Yeah.
While your swing may not look all that different to somebody watching objectively, you can probably see a difference. If you were to see a videotape of it, you'd think, oh, my God, my swinging is exactly the same, but those small tweaks can have big impact on the actual result.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the TrackMan monitors that we use now, it shows us, you know, 1 degree can make a significant difference in a golf swing.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Dan, if somebody comes to you and wants to change their ball flight, thinking back to Tiger, who, years ago was trying to get rid of, you know, Hank Haney wrote about it, the big miss.
Yep.
He doesn't want to hit, he wants to start hitting more controlled shots, really controlled fades.
Yep.
Is that the toughest thing for an instructor, for someone who wants to change what may be their ingrained shot pattern?
For a player like Tiger, I mean, his work ethic was unbelievable. Like, that guy would not stop until he had it figured out. So I think that's a little different situation. But for your average golfer, you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to develop new habits with how you deliver the golf club. Plus, you know, you get out there on the weekend with your buddies and someone's talking smack and you're on the third hole and you're like, all right, I'll try to hit it a little harder. And then as soon as you do that, you fall back into all your old tendencies. So, you know, being disciplined initially when you're making swing changes is huge, and learning to own it at a slower speed before you start ramping it up and trying to hit it 350 every time.
Ideally, what should the practice to playing ratio be? If you're going to go out and play once a week, should you be trying to hit balls or practice your short game or something twice as much?
So it depends on everyone has like a certain mixture, whether they need to practice twice versus one round of golf. I think trying to figure out what works for your schedule best and trying to figure out what works for your goals best is a big part of that. You know, if your goal is to cut 8 shots, I think you need to understand how much work that really requires. You know, so you're going to need to spend more time on the range than on the golf course.
If there's one overriding thing that most golfers need to do more of, what would it be? Is it more visualization? Is it more thinking about target as opposed to swing? Is it the opposite of that? An overriding philosophy, if you have one.
So I think for most people, they step up and all they're doing is looking at a pin, where I don't know the last time most of these people have stuck it inside of 1 foot. So thinking about what your miss is and then picking a starting line that's going to give you a good shot, regardless of how well you hit the shot. You know, really, really committing to the proper starting line for the shot you're trying to hit.
Thinking about the, not even the worst case scenario, but the likely scenarios. If this shot doesn't go perfectly, what are the results going to be, as opposed to, I want to hit this absolutely perfect. I'm going to fly it over that bunker. I'm going to go at that pin that's tucked. No, you should be thinking about what's more likely to happen and what the result will be.
Because you have to play to your odds, and everything is trying to give yourself a highest percentage chance of making a low number.
Yeah.
So if 90% of the time you hit a ball that fades 10 yards right of your target, you shouldn't be aiming at a right pin. You know, you have to make sure that you're picking the right spot for your pattern.
All right. Well, I'm hoping to see much more of you up there at Core Golf this summer. I have a feeling I will, and maybe you can break me the habit of just aiming in the general direction of the hole on each shot. You know, that's kind of been my mantra for a while. Dan Boisvert, Director of Instruction, Core Golf, 218 Speen Street in Natick. Does that sound right in terms of the address?
Yes, it is.
You're up there like what, every day?
Every day.
All right. Come look for Dan and maybe he can help you. I tell you what, he helped me out immensely in like the 5 minutes he stopped by when I was hitting balls the other day. So my gut tells me he'll be able to do the same for you. Dan, thanks for coming in.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.